These darkest days in the Northern Hemisphere are not the darkest days for the stock market. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. In the last two trading days, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has gone up a combined 709 points, 421 points just on Thursday. Sounds like a holiday rally. Chris Beecham is Senior Markets Analyst at IG in London. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, we ended up with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 421 points yesterday. If you look at last 2 days of trading, that particular index is up more than 4%. The S&P 500 up about 2.9% for the week. What do you make of this, given the turmoil we've been seeing in Russia? Plenty of things to worry about.
It has been a very volatile December, both down and now up. Partially, this is down to traditional seasonality effect of the market, where it tends to sort of rally towards the end of the year. But also the Fed meeting on Wednesday really sort of cleared the way for the market to rally in the way that it did.
Because the dominant story 3 days ago was we should worry somehow about these lower crude oil prices and worry somehow that gas prices are falling, even though that cheers up consumers. But that story seems to have been set aside, at least temporarily.
The market is always a forward-looking thing, and bad news predominated so strongly from July onwards that really a lot of that has begun to be factored into the price, and people are now looking ahead to think, well, actually, if we begin to see easing back of production from the major nations, that will provide a reason for crude oil prices to possibly rally. And it is still, obviously, as you mentioned, good for consumers. It's almost a stimulus program. So people are looking towards the positive impact as we head towards the end of the year.
Chris Beecham, Senior Markets Analyst at IG in London. Mr. Beecham, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Further perspective, this week the S&P 500 is up 3%. The Dow is up 2.8% for the week. Amazon has launched an instant delivery service on select goods for customers in New York's Manhattan. But by instant, they don't mean a Star Trek transporter. They mean in under an hour. This isn't the only company trying to corner the super fast delivery market. Others have tried and failed during the dot-com boom, and a crop of new startups are trying to get into the game now. Sam Harnett reports.
For about $8 in Manhattan, Amazon will have a bike courier deliver your groceries, toys, and even toilet paper. John Morgan, who teaches at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business, says Amazon could pull this off because of its sheer scale.
Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla in the room if you're a startup. How are you going to beat those guys?
Companies like Instacart and Uber are trying, but John Dayton, professor at Harvard Business School, says they're making a mistake, focusing on delivery, not product.
The delivery end of these businesses is the cost end, and the money-making end is the retail end.
The success of super-fast delivery rides on an army of cheap contract workers, says Josh Bivens from the Economic Policy Institute.
If we got to a genuinely healthy labor market, you know, a lot of these kind of instantaneous delivery services would be pretty hard-pressed to continue. It'd be more expensive, and there'd be less of it.
Right now, he says, people are desperate enough, they'll schlep somebody else's groceries and toilet paper. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. The price of crude oil is up 0.9% this morning. Bigger picture, the price remains under $55 a barrel, down from $102 in June. Now, if you're chortling at the gas pump or chortling again when the heating oil truck leaves the bill, spare a thought for those who bet wrong on the price of oil. Perhaps one of the biggest one-way bets in the wrong direction came from the oil patch itself by a company and its founder at the center of the U.S. fossil fuel revolution. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Harold Hamm is the $8 billion oil man, the man behind the biggest drilling company in North Dakota, Continental Resources. Here he is in an earnings call about 5 weeks ago.
You know, we're at the bottom rung here on prices, and we'll see them recover pretty drastically, pretty quick.
That was November, when a barrel of oil sold for $78. Now it's 50-something. And?
Given our belief that the recent pullback in oil prices will be short-lived, We made changes to our existing hedge book by monetizing practically all of our oil contracts.
Okay, that's oil speak for we're betting on prices to rise. Continental had locked in nice high selling prices by what's called hedging until it stopped, and the company has lost half its value in 4 months. Gregory Zuckerman has written about Ham in his oil and gas book, The Frackers.
As an investor, you want your oil and gas company to focus on getting the most energy out of the ground. You don't want them really speculating on the market.
As Zuckerman sees it, this goes hand in hand with Harold Hamm's astonishing success story. The son of Oklahoma sharecroppers, he started with nothing, and then he made an early crazy bet on North Dakota oil. He was stubborn.
You need that self-confidence, but it can bite you on the way down by making you a little too sure of yourself. And I would argue that when he took off these hedges, he showed signs of that.
It's not the first case of when hedges go bad. This just happens in the market of so-called derivatives, what Warren Buffett once called financial weapons of mass destruction.
Destruction is the key component.
Finance professor Jeff Harris teaches at American University.
Being on the wrong side of the market could easily destroy all the value of the company. The size of the market actually is much greater than any individual company in the world.
As for Harold Hamm and his company, he still thinks oil could rise, and he may well be right. Just as traders like to say, a little off in the timing. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety has been crunching the numbers on fatal car crashes involving teenagers. Among the conclusions of the new analysis, newer cars might be a better option for younger drivers. Nearly half of the teens who died in crashes were driving cars more than 11 years old. The suggestion is the newer cars have more safety features, such as side airbags or electronic stability control. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.